Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein. Welcome to A Response of a Day for the 6th of Cheshvan. Today we're going to study a response of Rav Ben Tzion Meir Chai Uziel, the Sephardi Chief Rabbi of Israel, right around the establishment of the State of Israel through the early 1950s, I think. I think he passed away in 53. This is from Shut Mishpate Uziel, Krach Bet, second volume of Yeridea Siman Lamed Gimel. It's from a time before he became the Chief Rabbi from Tuf Reish Tzadi Vav, which would have been 1935, right? It's the 6th of Cheshvan, 1935. So here's the question. Somebody asked him about a woman who didn't have a chance to make proper preparations for mikvah before Friday night. Friday night, was her time to go to the mikvah. So you go to mikvah on Shabbos, even if that's your time, you go to mikvah. But the common preparations for a woman going to mikvah are that you're supposed to wash and shampoo her hair thoroughly and then comb it out very carefully. So the combing it out on Shabbos is a problem because we hold that combing carefully necessarily pulls hairs out of the body, out of the head, and that's a prohibition on Shabbos of gozes, I think, right? Of cutting something off from its source of life. So we're not allowed to pull hairs on Shabbat. So she hadn't made these preparations, and it's also true that women that the practice is for women to cut their fingernails before Shabbat, before going to mikveh as well, so that the worry there is there might be material, dirt, or flour, or something under the fingernails, which is so far under the fingernail that it's considered really on the body. Meaning if it's far out from the fingernail, it's not really on the body, but if it's under so we worry about that. So the practice is to cut the fingernails in order to make sure that one doesn't have any chatzitz, anything getting in the way. So because the problem in mikveh is that when one goes to mikveh, this is male or female, if there's something on the body that stops the water from going through, so that's a problem for us. So it's a complicated question of how much is a problem. Problems are rabbanan, problems are right. But basically, we don't want any chatzitzot, any separations between the person going to mikveh and the water of the mikveh itself. So for a woman who goes to mikveh regularly, this practice is to make sure to wash and comb one's hair carefully and also to cut one's fingernails. She hadn't had a chance to do that on Friday during the day, and she wants to know, can she run her fingers through her hair to check that way for a chatzitza, right? She'll just run it through her hair and she'll see there's nothing in there. And she wants to clean her fingernails very carefully, which presumably you can do at Shabbat if you do it without, because you're not doing anything that Shabbat is prohibited. Can she do that? And then go to mikvah. So the rabbi who was writing to Rav Uziel had written him his whole thinking, and he had thought it was okay, bishat adchak, because it's a time of, you don't want to keep husbands, we don't want to keep husbands and wives apart more than they have to be kept apart. So we'd like to find ways to say that they're permitted to stay together. And so this Rav had held, for whatever reasons he had held it, but he asked, and we'll see in the course of the tshuva, some of the reasons he had held that way, he asked Rav Uziel for his opinion. So Rav Uziel starts pointing out that we have a Gemara that says that Ezra made 10 takanot. Ezra made 10 rules to help the Jewish people be more careful in their observance and be more close to what Hashem wants of them. And one of them was that a woman should be chofefet vitovelet. That a woman, there's a Gemara in Bava Kama on Pei Bet Amud Bet, that a woman should, so chofefet, should carefully go through her hair and then be tovelet, go to mikveh. The Gemara says, that's doraita. To make sure you don't have any chatzitzot, that's a doraita issue. That's a biblical issue. We didn't need Ezra to come along and do that because we have a braita that says, points out that the verse says, v'rachatz et bisaro b'mayim, he or she should wash their body in water, that's going to mikvah. Shelo yehei davar chotzeit et bisaro. Nothing should interrupt or separate between the person and the body, or in the parts of the body being tovel. Et tafel bisaro, and that et bisaro includes not just his actual body, but also that which is sort of attached to and subordinate to the body, which is the hair. Gemara answers, d'oraita l'iyunei dilma miktar inami ma'os midei mishum chatzitza. On a d'oraita level, on a biblical level, all the person would have to do is check very carefully, look through the hair and see what's going on and make sure there's nothing in there that would count as a chatzitza or something that was disgusting and therefore a chatzitza. And Ezra said, nope, you need a chafifa. So, and Rashi explains that chafifa is bimasrik, with a comb, l'archaka demilta, to make sure that there's no way that it could go bad. So the man who had written, the rabbi who had written to Rav Uziel, said, Rav Uziel says, I see that you had held, you had wondered about Rashi saying that. How did Rashi know that it had to be with a kope in particular? Because chafifa sounds like you go through the hair and you sort of rub at it, maybe scratch at it a little bit to make sure there's nothing in there, and that would sound like the process of shampooing that we all do with our hands and our fingers. So Rav Uziel says, it seems to me that Rashi was struggling with the fact that the Gemara said, at a Torah level, you have to buy le'iyune. So le'iyune means to look at, look through it. And to look through it means to make sure that there's no hairs, for example, that are all tied together, and therefore might constitute a chatzitza because they are so matted that they prevent the water from getting through to the skull, to the head, or that there's something disgusting in there stuck to the hair. So Rav Uziel says, but Rashi was clear, and we are probably clear, that that kind of investigation, that kind of looking into the hair, you can't do it with your eyes alone, because especially in Rashi's time when you didn't have good mirrors, but even today, to be able to see that you can, without using your fingers and hands, just by looking, to say that you could look through and make sure that there's nothing on the head that is creating a chatzitza, it's just impossible to do, even with mirrors, or it's not impossible, it's very, very difficult to do. So when the Gemara says that Iyune was d'oraita, so that biblical requirement of looking through has to be using your fingers and hands and sort of rubbing through and making sure that there's nothing going on. If that's true, then when Ezra is going to add something, it can't be that he's adding something like you rub carefully, because that was the d'oraita level. So it's got to be Rashi must have understood through a comb. That's the way Rav Uziel understands. So you have a Torah level was to just make sure as well as we can there's no chatzitza. That might involve, you know, an ordinary run through with the hands and eyes and making sure there's nothing in there. And then came along Ezra and said, no, you need a chafifa, which now we're understanding, Rashi's understanding means you need an actual kobing. And that would explain, Rav Uziel says, there's a Ramban in Hilchot Nida, and there's a Rashba in Torah HaBayit HaAroch. So these are two important works. Ramban in Hilchot Nida is printed, I think, in the backs of the volume of Shas that has the Nida in it. He put together Hilchot Nida, the laws of Nida, and the Rashba has a book which is on issues that have to do with the household. So a lot of it is about kashrus stuff, and then some of it is also about the woman and Nida issues and mikveh issues and things like that. So they both wrote, Ezra, Beit Dino, Tiknu, they ordained that she should be chofefet in all places where there's hair. And the Beis Yosef mentions that. So they didn't come to say, Rav Uziel says, that it's okay, that's enough by running your fingers through your hair. They were coming to Yimach, and they're saying that the takana of Ezra was to require a chafifa, and it depends on where the hair is. Any place in her body that she can look with her eyes and sort of with her fingers and rub it, that would be fine. But in the head, on the head, where you can't see, she needs a comb. And that's the Chacham Adam says, you must have learned that from the Ramban and the Reshba. So you have it pretty explicitly that that's what's going on. So that, Rav Uziel says, you can't do on Shabbos. And you can't do it on Shabbos for reasons that I mentioned earlier. And you have a Gemara that said as well. And there's a Gemara, I'm sorry, that proves it. The Gemara says, and this is going to show that on Shabbos it's usher. It says, the halacha is that a woman should be chofefet during the day. The reason was because once it got dark, we worried that she wouldn't see well enough and she wouldn't know what she was doing, I think. So you want to make her be chofefet when it's still day, and then be ready also to go to mikveh right the first thing at night. And then she goes to mikveh that night. Rashi says she should be lachov perod yom. And then, sorry. Rashi says, had the lo efsha, that there's a case. I'm sorry. Ordinarily, she can be chofefet at night. The Gemara says, the halacha, that there are times when the woman is generally chofefet bayom in the day and goes at night, but there are times when she can't. So Rashi says she can't, for example, when let's say she's going to mikveh motzae Shabbat. So she can only do chafifa at night, so then she'll do chafifa at night, right? And the Shilto says that as well, and the Maran has it, that if her tefillah is motzae Shabbat, that she can't do chafifa during the day, she should do it at the night of her tefillah. And even though it's at night and we're worried that she maybe won't be able to see as well as she could, so in this case, since she can't do it on the day, then she has to do it. Then she has to do it at night. So that shows, right, if it were true, that you know, all you needed was rubbing your fingers through your hair. Then why can't she do it on the day of Shabbos, close to the time she has to do tefillah? So Rav Uziel says, no, it shows that whatever she's doing on Shabbos, whatever she's doing for the chafifa, for the rubbing out of any possible chatzitzot, any possible interruptions, it's got to be with, in a way that's usher on Shabbos. It's got to be with a comb, that is. And the reason why the comb is a problem is because she's going to be necessarily pulling out hairs. So it is true that in Hilchos Shabbos, you see that in Hilchos Shabbos, they say you can, the Ramah uses the language of mutar lachuf ulfasves bayad. You can do it, it sounds like chafifa. But Rav Uziel says, no, that's the exact other kind. That's where one uses one's fingers just to sort of straighten up one's hair. And you do that gently. So that you're allowed to do on Shabbos, because there's no reason to assume that in doing that, you'll pull out hairs, and therefore that's allowed on Shabbos. To use a masrek, to use a comb or a heavy brush, something that pulls out hairs necessarily, so that is a problem, because it's a psik reisha that the hair is coming out. It's kind of nechale, because the hairs that are coming out are ones that were probably all over the place and weren't straight, and you wanted to straighten them out. So it is a psik reisha denechale. It's a psik reisha necessarily happened, and you're not unhappy that it's happening, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. And that would be true, by the way, if she used her hands, but part of the reason to use her hands is to get rid of the knots in her hair, because like I said, we said before, knots in her hair can be considered a problem for going to mikvah, because the knots might prevent the water from getting through. So that's a psik reisha denechale. It's a psik reisha that she's happy with. That's not allowed on Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham says it. He says it, and then I saw it. The Magen Avraham says this very clearly, that you're not allowed to comb through your hair or run something through your hair that will definitely pull out hairs. And if that's true, then there seems to be, we're not going to end here, but there seems to be no solution for this woman, because she can't, in fact, do the chafifa that's required. In other words, we have a dinda oraita that she would have been okay, then a dinda rabbanon that she has to do a chafifa. Rav Uziel has now proven that, to his satisfaction, I think to ours, that chafifa means more than running one's fingers through one's hair. It means really scraping through the hair, as it were, with a comb to make sure there are no knots and there are no pieces of dirt in there. And so she can't seem to be do that on Shabbos. So Friday night, if she hasn't done it before Shabbos, she has a problem, because she can't keep the tekana of Ezra, the ordinance of Ezra. So this Rav, who was writing to Rav Uziel, said his thought was that maybe it should be allowed because the tekana of Ezra is drabbanon. Maybe in places, we sometimes have it, the tekana drabbanon, in a place where it's impossible to fulfill it, we say you can do it b'di'evit. If there's no way to do it, you're allowed to do it and sort of ignore the tekana drabbanon. That's not a general rule, but this rabbi thought maybe that would apply here. And he applied that here because the Bach had said b'di'evit, im lo chafifa legamre al tala tefila ledat haramban. If she had already gone to mikvah, if she hadn't done the chafifa the proper way, she hadn't fully combed out her hair the way that Halacha wants, there's a Ramban that says that maybe it should be okay. So the Rav Uziel says, I don't think it works at all, because even if we hold that at the Rabbanan we allow certain things b'di'eved, he doesn't know that we call this a b'di'eved, because she, if we tell her that she can't go to mikvah, so she'll go to mikvah the next night. So the only reason why it would be considered a b'di'eved would be if we think that the husband is going to say, sorry, I waited long enough, and you know we're having relations tonight. But Rav Uziel says, these are, in the question, it's clear, these are good from observant, caring, religious, observant people. So why would we assume that the husband is going to insist, and he's going to violate this terrible issur of the prohibition of having relations with one's wife when she's still an Ida? Why would we assume such a thing? So it's not really a b'di'eved, meaning it's going to cost them a night. Now, halachically and hashkafically, we don't want to cost them a night with each other. We want to find ways to let them be together, but we don't, Rav Uziel is saying, we don't think of it as a b'di'eved. It's not like it's a lost situation. It's one night. She'll go to the next night. Right? The next time we'll say Shabbos, she can comb out her hair, and she can go. So even if Rav Uziel didn't have a solution, and he does have a solution, but even if he didn't have a solution, you can't call this as a b'di'eved. He says, if you're going to call this a b'di'eved, then the whole tekana is going, because everybody's going to have b'di'evids. They're going to ignore it, and it'll never be kept. And not only that, it can't be. He says that every tekana derabbanan, we just say, yeah, but b'di'eved, it's okay. It's not a general rule about drabbanon. So therefore, he has to come up with another way to say that this might be mutar, and he does. So he thinks there's another way to be mutar. And the way to find a heter is that we have another set of halachot about mikvah, which is that Rav Huna says that there are occasions when a woman will do a chafifa on one day, and she'll won't go to mikvah till like two nights later, right? So what would that be? So if she does the chafifa on Erev Shabbos and is tovelet b'motzei Shabbat, meaning we had said a few minutes ago that in that situation maybe she would have to do her chafifa on Motzei Shabbat, but really the preference was not to do it at night. So another way to do it was to say she could do it Friday for Motzei Shabbat heading to mikvah, and just we can trust that she can be careful enough over the course of Shabbat that we don't have to worry that something else came along in that time. So in other words, the Takana of Ezra was we require a chafifa before mikvah, but in certain circumstances, we don't require it to be right up close to the moment that she goes to mikvah. And it gets more, because let's say that her time to go to mikvah is now a motzai Sunday night as a Yom Tov. Meaning, let's say there's a Yom Tov motzai Shabbat. Pesach is that can happen on motzai Shabbat. So Shabbos is Shabbos, Pesach is Pesach, and she's going to go to mikvah Sunday night. So she can't do a chafifa Shabbos during the day. She can't do a chafifa Sunday during the day. It's Pesach. It's a holiday. So she can do it Friday and be careful. And if you figure it out, she can also have, you can have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, right? In the time of the Gemara, they didn't always have 2 days of other Yom Tov, but you did have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah already. So it could even happen that she'll go to mikvah, that she'll need to go to mikvah, want to go to mikvah, it'll be time to go to mikvah Monday night. And she can't do a chafifa on Monday because it's Rosh Hashanah. She can't do a chafifa on Sunday, it's Rosh Hashanah. She can't do a chafifa on Shabbos, it's Shabbos. So she'll do it on Friday afternoon. So Friday is day one, Shabbos is day two, Sunday is day three, Monday is day four, and Monday night is already day five. So that's the longest period that Rav Huna points to. You can have a woman who's chofefet b'yom echad on the first day, in this case Friday, and won't go to mikvah until the fifth day after that. Right, so that, and Rav Chisda says, we only say that when we only say that you have to have a chafifa the day of, right before going, where it's possible. Where it's impossible. If it's impossible, then you can do it. That's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins it. That if there are two Yomim Tovim, Chamishi and Shishi also, and she's going to mikvah Friday night, she can do her chafifa on Wednesday before Yom Tov starts. Right, and then after that, she should be careful. So they say she should tie up her hair to make sure it doesn't get all messed up. She should do something to make sure, to try to be sure that there won't be any problems with her hair after that, and then as she's about to go to mikvah, she should look carefully as much as she can that there are no chatzitzot. That's the way we paskin the halacha. Okay, so that's a halacha that's not relevant, that's not directly relevant to our case. It's just a halacha that comes up all the time, right? Whenever Yomim Tovim come out in proximity to Shabbat, if there are women in our community who are going to need to go to mikvah on Motzei Shabbat or Motzei Yom Tov, and that means that chafifa can't happen on Shabbat and Yom Tov, she can do the chafifa before Shabbat and Yom Tov, and then she has to spend Shabbat and Yom Tov being careful that nothing goes wrong with her hair, and then Motzei Shabbat she'll look a little carefully, and that'll be it. And that's the halakha. How does that help us in our situation? It's because it shows that in a place where it's impossible to have the tevilah, to have the immersion in the mikvah close to the chafifa, close to the taking care of one's hair, we allow her to do a chafifa. She can do an effective checking of the hair, combing of the hair, yom o yomayim, maybe a few days beforehand. So in our case, it's also impossible. Why is it also impossible? Because it's Friday night, and she has not combed her hair that day. So she can't do it on Shabbos either. So in terms of going in the mikvah now, there's no way she can do it. It's impossible for her to do a chafifa. So, and if we don't allow her to go to mikvah, tibatel mitzvah tefillah bizmana, she'll lose. There is a value in halacha of doing a tefillah bizman, of doing the tefillah in its proper time, meaning at the first opportunity after she is no longer in nida. And there's the mitzvah there. So he thinks that because of that, we would allow the chafifa to be a little early. That much we do. In other words, we said before when he was rejecting the idea that it's a bidyeved, he said the fact that they might have to wait a day doesn't make it a bidyeved. But he's saying now that in terms of the halacha, that the chafifa, that the combing needs to be right as close as possible to the going to mikvah, that's true, he says, but that halacha, since we have occasions where there are factors that say it's okay to do it, to have chafifa separated from the tefillah, to have the combing separated from the immersion of the mikvah in situations where it can't be done any other way, here too he thinks because of the value of her going to mikvah on time, this can be considered a situation where there's no other way. So therefore, so what? we haven't, where's the chafifa? So we'll get to that. 1 second. Because he wants to remind us before he gets to that to say, and don't tell me that when we say it's impossible, we only mean it's impossible because Shabbos and Yom Tov made it impossible. But if she forgot or she was neglectful or some other reason, that doesn't count as Yefshar. He says it's not true. Because there's another halacha in Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah says, that on a weekday, if she did a chafifa, she combed out her hair carefully, and she looked carefully, and then she v'tavla b'leil yom acher, and then she went to mikvah, the tefillah counts b'dieved. So there was no iser, she just didn't get the halacha right, meaning her mikvah night was Wednesday night, and Tuesday was when she combed out her hair. Is what the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says. For whatever the reason was, she just did it wrong. She misunderstood the halacha. She didn't realize the halacha. She had an opportunity. That was the day she got her hair cut, so she was careful. Whatever the answers are, you know, it doesn't matter. But it shows that b'dieved, even if the chafifa and the bedika, the combing and the checking were not right up against her tefillah, right against her immersion, they were more separated from it, b'dieved, we allow it. So that is now the second important piece. Right? Important piece number one was to say that there are times when we prospectively tell her to do a chafifa, do her combing, her checking, as at a distance from the actual immersion in mikvah. Then that we might have said was only because of the problem of Shabbos and Yom Tov, meaning not the problem, the challenge it presents in terms of her doing it because she can't do it on those days. But now we have another halacha that says, no, even if she did it separated by some time in that case, same kind of a time period, for other reasons, having nothing to do with that, but she did it, and then she went to mikvah, she already came to us, the immersion counts. We think the immersion counts, halachically, is valid, even though they weren't right next up to each other. So now when we come to this woman Friday night, we can say that she counts as a b'dieved because she's not going to be able to go, she's not going to be able to do a chafifa now, she's not going to be able to do a combing now. So it's in that sense a b'dieved, like the guy said, and he says, but we've seen that if she goes to mikvah in situations where it's just separated by a day or two, that will count. So here he says, women today in the 1930s tend to comb their hair almost every day. Right, and they comb it carefully and with a comb, and they make sure, especially if they're going to go out. So any woman who goes out every day pretty much takes care of her every day. At least in the 1930s, that was true, and that counts as a chafifa because she's making sure there are no knots in her hair. She's making sure there's no dirt in her hair. She's doing all the things of a chafifa. So it's true that ordinarily we want it to be right up close, chronologically in close proximity to the tefillah. But this woman didn't get a chance on Friday, but pretty much she probably did it Thursday morning maybe, right? Because she went outside Thursday morning, maybe Wednesday morning, but that's all within the time frame that's acceptable in halacha because of the Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah issue. And now he's saying, b'dieved, if she does it even on a regular weekday, the Shulchan Aruch had said that was okay as well. So since that's true, even though it's not exactly the same, b'dieved, it should work. You might argue that the chafifa has to be l'shem tevila, though. The case of the Shulchan Aruch was that the woman misunderstood, and she on Tuesday, in the example that I made up, but she on Tuesday did a full chafifa, full combing and checking, and she meant it for preparation for the mikvah. She just did it too early, and maybe our women that we're talking about here didn't remember, didn't think that she was doing it for the purpose of going to mikvah. It doesn't matter. He says as long as the point was to make sure there's no katzitza, it's a technical, it's a purposeful thing. It's for the purpose of making sure. It's not like an end of its own to do a chafifa, to do a combing. It's to make sure there's nothing in there. So when women are going out to going out and they're just combing their hair on a regular day, they're doing it for those purposes too, and therefore it's as good a checking as there is. So that's the issue of the hair. So even though she didn't comb her hair on Friday, the Vuziel thinks that she has the right, she b'dieved, we can let her go to mikvah on Friday night because of this. The other issue that comes up is the question of cleaning out her fingernails, cutting her fingernails before going to mikvah. Ordinarily, you're supposed to cut your fingernails before going to mikvah, but he says that halacha of cutting one's fingernails is really a chomra because we don't know what's considered kineged habasar, what's considered opposite the skin, meaning if you look at your tops of your fingers, your fingernails stretch out, well, it depends how long they are, but even if they're very long, some part of the fingernails will be sort of parallel to or near skin. And so dirt under those parts of the fingernails is really on the body because the body extends as far as the skin extends. So therefore, since we didn't know, and there might be dirt under there, the custom was to cut the fingernails. That would seem to mean that if we were really, really very careful about cleaning out our fingernails, where there's nothing in them, then that should be fine for going to mikvah. The shachet held that you should be machmir and go to the meaning of, let's say a woman didn't know the halacha, or she had just gotten her fingernails done and really didn't want to cut them, and so she cleaned them out very carefully. The shachet held that we tell her, no, sorry, you have to cut your fingernails and you have to go to mikveh again, because there's certainly something underneath it. The Rama seems to say something like that as well. Ravuziel says, but that only makes sense if she's going to be able to cut her fingernails before the second time going to mikveh. Right? What they were saying was, let's say a woman had thought she could clean it out and avoid the cutting her fingernails. We tell her, no, our custom is we cut our fingernails, and therefore she has to go to mikveh and cut her fingernails. But in our case, if you tell her that, she's going to have to wait till Motzei Shabbat, and she's not going to be able to go again. So in a place where it's impossible, he thinks, Ravuziel holds that no, that her cleaning it out and checking it should be good enough. Another problem, though, is the Bach had said that maybe the problem is if this is a fingernail that's long enough that she's certainly going to cut it in the near future, he thinks that it becomes a chotzeit. There are times in halacha, this is the sort of the background to this, there are times in halacha when if something is what's called omedet likatzeit, if it's going to be cut soon, so this can come up with like fruits on the trees that are ripe enough or have reached the proper stage of growth, that we're going to cut them off soon, or grain in the field, so that has a halachic standing of a different standing than the other stuff that's completely not ready to be cut off soon. You might have said, the Bach seemed to hold that if you have fingernails that are long enough, they're going to be cut soon. He thinks that will consider a chatzitza, because it would be considered a something stopping the water from getting through to the body, because it's no longer really part of the body, because it's really going to be cut soon. And therefore, that's what the Bach had held. But Rav Uziel says he doesn't think this svara has any place, which is always interesting to watch. The Bach is an acharon, so it's not completely shocking that Rav Uziel is willing to argue with him, but it's a little bit surprising, only because the Bach is from, you know, the 1600s, and Rav Uziel is writing in the 1900s, but he felt like he's a Talmid Chacham, as he was, for sure, and he has the right to argue. So he says it doesn't make sense, because you have a Rav Yah in the name of the Gaonim, who says that we're only worried about dough or dirt under the fingernail that's going to be a chatzitza to the skin. But nobody ever thought that our fingernails themselves, if they're still attached to the body, even if they're very long and they're going to be cut soon, but it's part of the human body. And the Taz went further, and he said, everybody agreed that the whole idea of cutting fingernails is only a minhag, so that the Bachna comes along and says, no, it's a chatzitza itself. That was a very strange thing to the Taz already, which helps Rav Uziel and the Sidrei Tahrir had written, that especially if we have a worry about the husband and wife being able to live together, and there's a mitzvah there for husband and wife to create productive physical relationships with each other, we value that halachically. We value that. I mean, we just think it's like a halachic value. So we will rely on the majority of poskim that the fingernails are not considered a chatzitza, even if they're very long. So here too, in a place where it's impossible to cut them, that you can't consider them in any way a problem. Therefore, as long as she's very careful to clean them out, it should be okay. But the question is, are you allowed to clean them out on Shabbos? Some people held no, but the issue is you're not allowed to scrape away at the fingernail itself. So if you press on the skin while you're cleaning, he says, then you can be sure you're not scraping the fingernail, and then you should be okay. But he even thinks, Ruziel, that you don't even have to go that far, because as long as you wash it carefully with water, and with water, he thinks that's good enough, because it's going to get at all the stuff that's in there. So therefore, he thinks, la'alacha, that this woman who found herself in this situation, she can rely on an earlier combing of her hair that she certainly did, maybe even Friday morning, but probably Thursday morning for sure. So she can rely on that, and she can wash her fingernails very carefully and make sure there's no dirt under them. And if there is some dirt, she can get it at it, making sure not to scrape the fingernail itself, but get it at the dirt underneath. And in that way, she can go to mikvah, and therefore the halacha follows what the rabbi had originally said, not quite for his reasons, but in a way that allowed her going to mikvah. And that is a tshuva a day, responsible day by Rav Ben Tzion Meir Chai Uziel for the 6th of Heshvan. Have a great day.